Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are, in a sense, we're going to study with the Apostle Paul the instruction that he gave to the church at Corinth. And this was a church that was very dear to him. We have two letters that he wrote, and there's a clear indication he wrote a third letter. And he'd been there. They were very dear to him. And so he has a discourse in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And the very first verse of 1 Corinthians 12 gives us the reason that he's going to talk to them by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about this subject matter. And he says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." All right, so that means the possibility is that we could be. And when we look at some of the things that were happening in Corinth, it's evident that there was a degree of ignorance because some of the gifts were not being used properly or well with the right motivation. And so he takes a lot of time to talk to them about. And so I believe that it's still God's heart for the church, not just the church at Corinth, but the church in Roma, the church at Miracle Life, is that God doesn't want us to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. The Message Bible says, "I want you to be informed and knowledgeable." Informed and knowledgeable. And today we're going to look at those spiritual gifts. And in the weeks to come, we're going to kind of get into them and see where they have been used in the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, so that we can understand how God wants those gifts to be used in our life. Now, look at in same chapter here, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. It says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And so it's very important that we keep that in the forefront of our mind, that God's reason for manifesting his presence, and when God does supernatural things, the purpose of that is to bless and to help people. All right. It's not for any one individual or a group of people to get puffed up, to think that we're special. It is for the benefit of other people. All right. And so what we see here is that these gifts, and they're listed in verse 8, 9, and 10. These are gifts by the Spirit of God that are given to the church, to the body of Christ, that are supernatural in that they're not something that we could do without God, all right? And so God knows that we need him and that there are times when the limited capacity that we have as human beings to help one another, it's not enough, all right? You know, I think I'm very, very grateful that I get to live in 2013 because if I'm sick and I'm facing a physical challenge, there are incredible doctors that have received training and scientists that have discovered drugs and treatments. You know, that today it's an amazing thing that they can put you to sleep first, of course, but they can take a knife and take things out of your body or put things in or fix them and then you go home. And there's so much that we can be helped. And people that are suffering from malaria, there's drugs for that. ARVs for people that are HIV positive. And it's such a wonderful blessing to live in 2013. You know, 300 years ago, if you went to the doctor, they would have put a leech and to suck out your bad blood. All right. Aren't you glad we don't have leeches at hospitals anymore? All right. And so, but here's the thing. Doctors, nurses, scientists would all agree that while we have advanced, and it's a great, great thing that we've advanced, what we can do for each other, even in a medical way, it's limited. There's a ceiling, there's a cap, that while there's a lot we can do, there's still a whole lot that we can't do. And so what does God do? He said, "I know that, and that's why the God who has all the ability in the world will come and intervene in our lives and supernaturally make up the difference." All right. And so God knows that we need him. Okay. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is when, in a sense, that this is the day of Pentecost. And Peter he's preaching to a large group of people. 3,000 people start the church that day who put their faith in Jesus Christ. But there were some supernatural things that were happening and some things that people didn't understand. And so some thought, well, maybe they're drunk. Maybe they're just acting crazy. All right. And so Peter begins to explain this. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 16, he said, this, what you're seeing, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So Joel was an Old Testament prophet who hundreds of years before this event prophesied. God helped him see what was going to happen. And he said this. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And just that alone was a big deal. Because in the Old Testament, the only people that received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit were, in a sense, kind of the special people. The people that had a real special task by God. And it was typically the prophet, the priest, or the king. And the Bible would talk about how that the Holy Spirit would help them and they would do some amazing things. But in a sense, the commoners, you know, just people like us, we would see that God was using them, but it very rarely in the Old Testament would the Holy Spirit come upon, in a sense, regular people. All right. So he said, I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And so then he begins to describe who all flesh is and what some of the things that will happen when the Holy Spirit is poured out. It says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Okay. So if Peter perhaps was given that sermon today, he might say, you know, your kids and your grandkids, the gardeners, the security guards, the taxi drivers, they'll prophesy. Okay. It's not just for the people that we might think are anointed or special. All right. God's spirit and things that will happen supernaturally. This is available to all flesh. Turn to your neighbor and say, you look like flesh to me. Okay. I am so grateful when the Bible uses terms like all or everyone or whosoever, because that means I'm in that group. There's sometimes I'm not in, you know, when the Bible says wives, I have to just pretend like I'm not hearing what he's talking to the wives, you know, because I'm not in that group. But we're in this group. We're a part of all flesh. Now, we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. All right. When Jesus came, he said, when I leave, I will leave you with the Holy Spirit. And there's incredible things that he will do. And so the early church was founded by miracles and supernatural things that took place. In fact, the greatest supernatural event of all time was when God raised his own son from the dead. This book, this Bible is not a group of fables or stories. Okay. It's real stuff that happened to real people from a very real supernatural God. And so that same God is alive today. And we don't have any indication in the Bible that God just kind of jump-started the church with this surge of power. And then we've been on load shedding ever since. Okay? No. Because Joel said, he said, it's not just for the Holy Spirit and this outpouring is not just for this generation. It's for your sons and your daughters. That means us. Okay. And so the Holy Spirit is still doing amazing things on planet Earth. Now, Paul took these three chapters to help us understand what those things are and how they can be used and not abused. Or we don't have to get weird. You know, at Miracle Life, we've got 8 core values, and there's not one of them that we have a value of being strange or weird. Okay. God bless some folks, but I think some Christians do have a value of, I am determined to be strange and to be weird. All right. God's not weird. He's good. All right. He's practical. All right. And so these gifts are not meant for us to be weird. They are meant for the fact that there are things that God wants to do that we can't do just through wisdom or just through our intellect. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is for all flesh, and those gifts are for the church today. Okay. Now, here's a challenge that we have is that, and I know Miracle Life, and it's a wonderful thing at Miracle Life. A lot of our members and a lot of our members have a real priority for their kids for education. And my wife and I certainly share that. And I believe, you know, get the best education that you can possibly afford. And I know many of you as parents, you sacrifice for your kids that they can maybe rise higher than you. And it's an important thing. And I'm glad in Zambia that when we go to a doctor, that they graduated from medical school. And they were trained, all right? It's not just some Joe Schmo with a scalpel, all right? I'm glad he knows what he's doing, or she knows what she's doing, okay? So education is good, and I believe in it. And I'm thinking about getting a master's one of these days, all right? Here's the problem, is that in 2013, we are pretty smart, okay? My son is halfway across the world, and we send pictures to each other on this phone, you know. It's crazy. You know, we can sit down and put on a jersey and pretend like we're watching this match that's in Barcelona, Spain. Right? And when we use words like we, our, wow, how's that possible? Well, because these guys are playing a match and little particles of whatever goes and hits a satellite and then it hits your satellite and you get to watch the game live, all right? Isn't this amazing? The world that my son sent me a text the other day, and actually we were talking on Skype, and he said, "Dad," he said, "tomorrow I'm going to go skydiving." And I think this is just a sign of me getting too old, because my reaction to him skydiving was, "Oh, that's nice. How's the weather?" You know, and to think you're going to get in a metal tube that's flying hundreds of miles an hour, and then you're going to put something on your back and then jump out of the metal tube. I thought, oh, that's fine. You know, why? Because we're just kind of used to really incredible stuff these days. Okay, but here's the thing. Even in 2013, and that we're helping to cure different ailments, and we can put man on the moon, and, you know, we can watch TV on our phones. Folks, we still need the supernatural power of God in our life. And there are things that your satellite dish and your PhD and your smartphone is not smart enough. And so God comes and he intervenes and he still works supernatural things in the midst of his people. I don't know about you, but I know we need that. I need that in my life. I need that what God wants to do. All right. So let's look here and let's look at these gifts that are described, okay, that God says are for the benefit of people. All right, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, it says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." All right. So we see that the Holy Spirit is the coordinator. He is the empowerer. All right. And so he disperses these gifts for the benefit, we saw in verse 7, for the benefit of people. Okay. So they are for the body. Last week we saw there's two places in this passage where God says, desire these gifts. All right. Be eager for these gifts. Now, if God is dispersing these for the body and to the body, then our eagerness and our desire should not necessarily be for that these gifts are just for me, but Lord, in our church, in our connection group, Lord, at Merge, at Impact, Father, in the body of Christ in Zambia, Lord, we desire to see your gifts in operation. You know, I am so thankful, and I get to pray with different pastors at different times here in our city. And it just blesses my heart to know that God is moving among Anglicans. God is doing awesome things among Catholics. And you know what he's doing? He's giving his gifts. He's showing himself strong. He's doing supernatural things. And so we must never, ever, ever be arrogant enough to think that we're the select chosen ones and that only God is using us. God's a whole lot bigger. All right. And so we desire to see God move in and across the spectrum of the whole body of Christ. Okay. So there are 9 gifts that are mentioned here in verse 8, verse 9, and verse 10. And just for the sake of study and explanation, I'd like to, and some other people thought of this before me, but it's good to group these into 3 categories, all right? There's 3 gifts that are what we would refer to as revelational gifts. That is, they reveal something from God to people. There's another group of 3 gifts that are the power gifts, and that is they demonstrate God's ability and his power and the things that he can do that we can't do. They're power gifts, all right? And then there are 3 other gifts that are utterance gifts, or they say something, all right? So God wants to articulate a message, and through these gifts, he brings forth a message on planet Earth. Okay, and so these are all things that God has the ability to do, but he does them through gifts, through the body of Christ and through his people. All right. And here's the thing. How many of you know that if God wanted to, because he created us, he created the world, he designed this whole thing. If God just wanted to do stuff independent from us, he could do that. Okay, but what we see from his word and really the message of the Bible is how God is working with men, through men, to accomplish his purposes on planet Earth. Okay, and so there's a whole, you know, when we were, Benjamin and I went with, there were 17 of these teams that went across the street and we were sharing with people about the gospel. I was talking to one guy and we were having a conversation about the Lord and he agreed, you know, that all of us, we're going to die one day. And I said, well, you know, what's going to happen when we die? And evidently he knew some of the word. He said, well, I'm going to stand before God as a judge and he's going to judge me. I said, well, what is the criteria that he's going to use to judge you? He said, well, I guess he'll check to see if I've been, you know, if I've been empathetic towards other people, if I've, you know, done more good things than bad things. And I realized, oh, wow, he hasn't heard the good news yet. The good news is that we can't be good enough. All right, that's the bad news before the good news. The Bible says this, that there is no one righteous. And I like what the Bible says. No, not even one, because you're thinking about your grandmother. You're thinking about your grade one teacher. No, they were. No, not one. There's no one righteous. So what did God? He knew we couldn't be good enough. So he came himself through Jesus Christ and he was good enough. And now he offers us this gift that we can trade places. He took our sin and we can receive the gift of his righteousness. All right. And so when I was talking to him, I realized, wow, he didn't know that yet. And what we found is even as we were talking to people, literally across the street from our church, there were a bunch of people that didn't even know that Miracle Life was a church. Oh, Lord, I guess we need to do better with our signs out front or something. And folks, but here's the thing. God still chooses to use us to communicate who he is to this world. And that is an awesome responsibility. But part of that responsibility is we can't do this without his power and without his ability. All right. So these gifts are given for this purpose. All right. So the revelational gifts, they reveal something that God knows that we don't know. Okay. So God is omniscient. There's a number of omnis that he is. You know, he is omniscient. He is omnipresent. You are omni-nothing. Okay? We have no omnis. Okay? And so God knows everything. All right? And so we have these gifts called the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and it is simply that. It's a word. Okay? God doesn't give us the whole download. All right? If you ever had to see a lawyer and you say, hey, I've got this land issue or I've got this business issue, the lawyer doesn't try to download every single book that he's ever read, right? And every single case. No, he gives you what you need to know for that case. Okay? So the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits is God already knows something, and then he lets us in through supernatural means what he knows that we don't know. Okay? So the word of wisdom, all right, I'm going to give you some definitions here. Word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts about the future that are in the mind of God. All right, well, wait a second. How does God know the future? Well, that's why he's God and you're not. We project, we think about the future, but he sees the end from the beginning. How does he do that? I don't know either, but we can trust him. Okay. So, but what he does is he says, all right, hey, you're going to need to know something about the future. We see this a lot in the Bible. In the book of Acts, Paul had a determination and he believed that he was supposed to go to Rome and he was supposed to testify, before the king. All right. And so he had this determination. He wasn't going to stop until he got to Rome. But as he was traveling and ministering, the Bible says that in every city, the Holy Spirit testified that chains being locked up, chains awaited him. All right. So these people weren't sending emails to each other to warn Paul. It was the Holy Spirit who saw and notified these people, hey, tell Paul that chains await him. And I'm so glad for the courage of Paul that he wasn't afraid of chains. Okay? And he didn't run away, but the Holy Spirit wanted him to know, Paul, it's going to be trouble when you get there. All right? And there was trouble when he got there. Okay? So this is the word of wisdom about the future. We see in Acts 27, a prophet named Agabus said that there's going to be a famine. And so what happened was then the early church, they began to plan, they began to give, they began to help get ready for this trouble that was coming. Okay? The word of knowledge, so the word of wisdom, God knows it's about the future. The word of knowledge is about today or perhaps even yesterday. It is knowledge that God has that we don't. So it's supernatural revelation by the Holy Spirit of certain facts in the mind of God. Okay? This is not that you're smart. Okay? There are certain people who have an above average IQ. All right? I got to see my two older brothers this number of weeks ago. Every time they're wonderful guys, but every time I'm around them, I realize, my, these guys are smart. One's a CEO, the other's a really, really great lawyer, and I just realized, man, lay your hands on me, do something, you know, give me some of your brain cells. But anyway, God bless them. They're really, really smart. Okay, that is not the gift of knowledge. Okay, scientists tell us that we only use 10% of our brains, you know, when we get to the grave. How many of you have met some people that you're convinced they're only using 3% of their brains, okay? Right. So the word of knowledge, God knows, we don't, and he supernaturally reveals. Perfect example of this is John, when he was on the Isle of Patmos, he was in exile. He was being punished for being a Christian. And it says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and the Holy Spirit began to show him some things. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit showed him was about seven different churches. And he says, write to this church, write to this church, write to these seven churches. And for each of those churches, God said, I have this to commend you for. Well done. And I have these things against you. These things need to be corrected. Okay. How did John know those things? Did he compile all the complaints that he had been receiving? No. It was supernaturally told him by the Spirit of God. Knew, John didn't. And there was a kind of a Holy Ghost download. Write these things down. I'm showing you these things by the Spirit of God. All right. The discerning of spirits. Supernatural insight into the spirit world. Okay. The Bible is clear that we have angels and they are unseen, but they work on behalf of mankind. The Bible is clear that there are demons. Okay. There are evil spirits and we don't physically see them, but they are opposed to God and God's kingdom. All right. And so what we see is that from time to time, when need be, that God will reveal to folks into the spirit realm. You remember that there was God's people were afraid of this foreign army, and this army was coming against them. And the prophet said, Lord, open their eyes and let them see that there are more with them that are against them. And God opened their eyes and they saw all these angels. All right. What was that? That was the discerning or being aware of spirits. Okay. In the ministry of Jesus, Jesus healed lots of people and he had different ways that he did so. In about 15 to 20% of those cases, and sometimes Jesus would lay his hands on people. He would heal them. But there were certain times where cases where someone would come and they couldn't speak. They couldn't hear. All right. And Jesus spoke to a demon spirit. And he said, you spirit, come out of him. All right. So how did Jesus know that? Through the discerning of spirits. Okay. We see this operating in Paul's ministry, that he was aware that this was a demonic thing that was going on. Okay. This is not the gift of suspicion. Okay. This is not discerning a human spirit. All right. This is not thinking that, you know, I discern that your spirit is against me. No, no, no. That's not biblical. All right. This is not fortune telling or goofiness. All right. It is when God reveals something. Okay. So now here's the gifts are for the benefit of other people. Okay. And depending on what you're doing in life, you may need these gifts to be in operation. If you are a mom or a dad, if you're a mom or a dad, I would ask you to earnestly desire the revelational gifts in your parenting. Okay. At the time I didn't think it was a blessing, but I'm so glad that my mom operated in the revelational gifts when she was raising me. Cause I was a little stinker for a long time and I would get into a lot of trouble. All right. But many times God would just show my mom. Let me just, confession is good for the soul, right? All right. I was a freshman in high school. And didn't know the Lord. And so there was a lot of the kids were farmers. All the guys were going to go and hang out with some of our friends. And little did all the parents know that all the girls were going to go hang out with this other girl. Just so happened that they lived kind of close together. And we had some plans, let's say. Right? Everybody was paired off and, you can figure out the rest. All right. So I was what, 15 years old, and I was really looking, 14 years old, really looking forward to this. Well, my mom knew by the Spirit of God that something was up. And she said, I just don't think this is something's wrong here. No, and I lied through my teeth. Mom, no, we're just going to hang out with the guys. No, we're going to get into a whole lot of trouble with girls. No, you can't go. How did she know that? The word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Okay. So if you're a mom or a dad, I would encourage you earnestly desire and seek these gifts. All right. I know my wife and I, thank God our kids have been wonderful. All right. But there have been times where even just some things and their future and some things we just would know by the Spirit of God and we didn't always tell them. Okay. Some stuff we haven't even told them, but I would just, you know, be in prayer. Hey, Haley, I think the Lord showed. Yeah. I thought the same, felt the same thing on the inside. Okay. That's not mama tuition. Okay. It's the Spirit of God. All right. So earnestly desire those. All right. Another group of gifts is the power gifts. And these are the gifts where God shows up and does, amazing things. The working of miracles. The working of miracles is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature by the Spirit of God. Okay, so the ordinary, we can see in the Old Testament that, you know, you put water in a lake or water in a river and it flows. And that's how God set up nature. And it works that way. Well, the children of Israel needed to get across the Red Sea. And the Egyptian army were right behind them. And so God, the Bible says that God made the waters of the Red Sea to stand up like walls. And they walked across on dry ground. Not muddy ground, dry ground. So they walked across, 2 million people walked across on dry ground. The Egyptian army followed in after them, but unfortunately they didn't have a covenant with God and the water closed up and the horse and the rider were thrown into the sea. Okay? Now, the Bible, from cover to cover, is a book of miracles. And folks, I just want to say this with all respect. If you don't believe in miracles, you need to find another religion. Go study, you know, Buddha's wisdom, or go get a self-help book at the bookshop, you know, in town or something. Because Paul said this, he said, if he wasn't risen from the dead, we're still lost. And it's very discouraging that so-called biblical theologians and even some people in ministry try to explain away all the miracles of the Bible, like it's Aesop's fables or something. All right? I like what somebody said, you know, the big fish swallowed Jonah. He was in there for 3 days and three nights and he was released. And somebody said, well, you know, that's hard for me to understand, but if the Bible said that Jonah swallowed the whale, I would believe it because it's in the Bible. All right. So the Bible is a book of miracles. All right. Jesus took a boy's lunch, 5 loaves, basically 5, you know, chapatis and 2 fish. I remember it was a small boy's lunch, not a big boy's lunch, a small boy's lunch. And he fed over 5,000 people. How did that happen? That was a miracle. Well, some people say, no, it's just a fable about sharing. No, we have some instruction about sharing. And we have that in the Bible, but that's not what it was. It means literally 5,000 people ate from a small boy's lunch. And we've just got to accept that and be okay with that. Amen? Because God does that. All right. So working of miracles. We see in this group the gift of faith. All right. And so typically we could say kind of biblical normal faith happens when we see something from God's word. And we trust him based on his revealed word. All right. So the Bible says he'll supply all of our needs. All right. So I can trust him for that. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask and he'll provide. Okay. That means he'll give me wisdom. But there are times where God, it seems, supernaturally imparts faith to an individual. I think one example of this is Daniel in the lion's den. All right. So he's thrown into a pit of lions. Okay, did you see in the news this week? Some lions are messing with a certain area in our country. And people are adverse to lions, right? We run away from them. Daniel went in there. He was okay. And when the king said, are you okay? One of the things that he said in Daniel 6 was he said, I believed God. How did you believe God? Where in the Bible can you trust God? Because you and I just can't go walking in South Luangwa. That's okay. I trust God, you know. My goodness, every year in Johannesburg, there's a lion park. And these tourists would get out thinking it was, I don't know, they thought it was Disney World or something. And they'd get out to take pictures and then there was a funeral that took place. Okay. You can't trust God, but Daniel did. Well, how did he do it? I believe the Spirit of God just imparted that faith to him. So even in this impossible situation, I trust God. All right. Same thing. His 3 colleagues that went into the fiery furnace and said, we're not going to burn. All right. So there's this supernatural faith. And we'll talk about all these things in depth in the weeks to come. All right. Another part was the gifts of healings. Gifts of healings. And again, we see in the Old Testament, the ministry of Jesus, the book of Acts, where God would supernaturally heal people. And in some cases, even people that were not looking for healing. All right. And we're told to pray for the sick. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church. All right. But there is also an operation of the gifts of healing that touch and minister and help people. All right. And then lastly, the other group we see is the utterance gifts. And that is that God wants to say something. All right. And he wants to find a vessel to say something through. Okay, so we see the first one is the gift of prophecy. Now, this group, the gift of prophecy, the gift of divers tongues and interpretation of tongues, it will take some time because Paul took an entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 14 primarily just to look at those gifts alone. Okay, now, why did he take so much time? Well, because in Corinth, there was a lot of misunderstanding about those three gifts, okay? And in 2013, there's still a lot of misunderstanding about those gifts and how they should be used and what God wants to do through those gifts, okay? So, but in 1 Corinthians 14, okay, we see that, so the gift of prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue, okay, that we can understand. It's in one of the vernacular languages that we understand. Okay. So God says something and people hear it and they realize, okay, this is God that is saying. Okay. In the Old Testament, many, many times they would preface it by saying, thus says the Lord. The prophets would say that. All right. And what they were distinguishing is this, I'm not just having a conversation with you. This is God speaking through me. Okay, in 1 Corinthians 14, turn with me there, and it gives us a great description of what prophecy is. 1 Corinthians 14, 3, it says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Okay, so in order for it to be prophecy, it has to exhort, edify, or comfort, or all of the above. All right, because God defined what it is used for. Okay, in the Greek word there, prophecy, it literally means to speak for another. Okay, in our first service at Miracle Life, we have interpretation for the deaf. Sometimes we're watching TV, right, and there'll be someone who's signing language, right? In different places, you know, somebody will put on head. I remember one time I went to a church in Sweden. It was all in Swedish. I put on headphones and I heard everything in English because someone was interpreting for me. Okay. So prophecy means we are speaking on behalf of another. All right. So God gives a message and then someone speaks on behalf of God. Okay. And it has a wonderful, wonderful purpose. All right. The gifts of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned nor understood by the one speaking them. Okay. And they may or may not be understood by those hearing them. Now, these gifts and then the interpretation of tongues would then be to interpret what was said in that tongue. All right. And again, we'll get into a lot more details from that chapter, but in a public use, all right, tongues and interpretation, the ministry of those are supposed to be used to edify others so that we can understand. One of the things that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians 14 is that there is also a private or personal usage and a personal blessing and benefit to tongues. And that's a lot of the confusion was, what is its use publicly? What is its use privately? If you kind of think of water, water has many forms. The same water that you brush your teeth with or bathe with, that same water drives turbines at Kariba that light up this building. Same water, but multiple purposes for the very same thing. Okay? So, this is just really today just a brief explanation, but I would encourage you, look at these chapters for yourself. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, over these coming weeks, and be conversant with what God says about this. All right? Because, you know, my opinion really doesn't matter. Okay? Thank you for that hearty amen. It's God's opinion. It's God's perspective. And I've been in, you know, in since I've been a follower of Jesus, I've been among a lot of different circles of Christianity. And I tend to see maybe one, you know, one group that leans that, you know, we just need to understand and we need to use our mind better and be trained better. And that certainly is important. But sometimes they say, well, you know, we don't really need or desire supernatural things. All right. And then there's sometimes the other extreme where people, all they want is the supernatural. They never read the book of Proverbs. Very foolish. And then they just want God's supernatural power to make up for all their silliness. Okay. You know, the Bible says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Those people misread it and they think we're transformed by the removing of our mind. Okay. And what I see, and if you look at the especially the, in the ministry of Paul, Paul was trained by the, he went to the best school in the world, Gamaliel, all right? They didn't have universities. And so Paul was a very brilliant guy. And you could tell from his writings, if he wasn't an apostle, he could have been an awesome lawyer, okay? But so Paul had an incredible mind and an incredible thought process and diligence and perseverance and work ethic. But Paul also realized we need the supernatural. And I don't want your faith just to rest on my wisdom, but on the power of God that's demonstrated in your midst. All right. So I truly believe that in Christianity and for our lives and for this church, it's not either or. Let's have both. Let's have both that are articulated from God's word. All right. Let's pray today as we are going to be closing this service briefly. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Father, that you've taken the time and the effort to communicate with us. And Father, that we can read and understand your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, not just what I say, but Lord, what you say about your word will be very clearly revealed to your people. And Father, that we would have a, like you said, a desire and an eagerness for you to use our lives in a supernatural way. These gifts that will help us bless, minister, and help people come right in their lives. Father, we yield to you and we thank you that you do work in and through our lives in this way. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, we've been talking about these gifts. The Bible speaks of something called an indescribable gift. The indescribable gift was when God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, for you and me. And Jesus didn't come to give us good philosophy. He didn't come to start a world religion. He came because we needed a savior. You see, all the religions of the world have this idea that if we do something about us, then we can kind of clean ourselves up. We can make ourselves better, more presentable to God. But the Bible gives us an entirely different message. And that is that we're not good enough on our own. The Bible says that even our righteous deeds, God says they smell bad. They are not okay. All right? Because God is holy. He is perfect. He is wonderful. And all of us have messed up. So how do we make up for that? Well, it's not a matter of trying hard. It's not a matter of hoping that the scales, the good pile will outweigh the bad pile one day. No, Jesus Christ came, and this is why he was able to say this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now, how could he make such a bold claim? It almost seems arrogant at first. Well, because no one ever has gone and taken our sin and paid the price. You see, Jesus was perfect, yet he died the death of a criminal. And so when he did that, it wasn't a mistake. It was a God purposed and planned it. And when he died on the cross, the Bible says all of our wrong was put on him and he paid that. He took care of that debt. And now he offers us what he is and what he has, and that is a relationship with God. That's why it cannot come through our piety, through our good works. It comes from receiving what he did for us. The Bible calls that faith, that we trust him. The Bible says that we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth who Jesus is and what he did for us. If you're here in this place and you have yet to do that, you can. You can. You see, church attendance doesn't make that happen. Being baptized as a baby doesn't make that happen. Or going to a class, it happens through personal faith in your heart. But you can say yes to him. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I am a believer, but I'll be honest, my life is not okay. I've kind of turned my back on God and my life is messed up. And I would encourage you today, stop running the wrong way. Come to him. Don't run away from him. Come to him today because he loves you and he cares for you. Right now, if those two descriptions, one or both, if you say, you know what, that's me, that's where I am in my life. See, what God is doing by the Holy Spirit is he's calling you to him. And he wants you to be in his family. He wants to make things right. And things that are not okay, he can make okay because he loves you. And he has a plan for your life. If you're here today and you say, I'd like to accept that. I'd like to receive Jesus Christ personally. I want to put my faith in him. I've never done that, but I want to today. Or I'm a Christian, but I realize I need to come home. I need to stop running away from God. If that's you, God sees your heart. I want to pray with you. And so that we can pray together, I ask you right now, just lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you, man. Thank you so much. Anybody else, say, that's me. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want to follow him. God bless you. God bless you over here. He loves you. He cares for you. God bless you. Thank you over there. Yes. He's a good God. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? We want to pray, but we don't want you to. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Over here. God bless you, man. All right. Now, we're going to go in just a couple minutes. I'd ask us all to stand to our feet. I would please ask you to respect these folks that are making this decision, and let's not rush out right now, but let's just let God continue to minister to folks. But if you lifted up your hand or you realize I should have lifted up my hand, I want you to grab whatever you brought to church with you and I want you to meet me right up front. Just come and meet me. I want to shake your hand and I want to introduce you, and we're going to pray together and God is going to come into your life right now. Yeah, let's give him a hand. Let's let them know that we love them. He is a good, good, good God. He loves us. God bless you so much. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, man. Wonderful. God bless you, man. God bless you. All right. Now, God will do what he said in his word that he'll do. The Bible says if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, we will be saved. There'll be a change in our life. Thank you, ma'am. Thanks for coming. Now, this Bible is mine. I bought it. But if I wanted to give it to you as a gift, how would you receive it? Yeah, you would reach out and you'd receive it. Now, God has a wonderful gift for you. New life, forgiveness, his love. And so Jesus paid that price, but we're going to pray a prayer that we will receive that gift today. Are you ready to do that? I believe that you are. Would you just close your eyes with me and lift up one of your hands towards heaven, because we're going to talk to God. And say this with me. Say, God. Just say it out loud. Say, God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. He died in my place. He was punished for my sin. He was raised from the dead so that I could know you. I give you my heart. I give you my whole life. I turn away from wrong things, from every sin. I follow you, Jesus. I follow your word. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh.